What a fun day. You see, you never know what's going to happen when you come to church, right? Well, we are today wrapping up our sermon series that we've been doing on I Am a Church Member by Tom Rainer. I hope you've enjoyed the series. I've had a lot of great feedback from that. I think it's been a great opportunity for us to be intentional about examining our responsibilities as members of a church. Because I think sometimes, if we're honest, sometimes we probably do take it for granted. Sometimes we probably do lean on the country club side and get ourselves at that time and place where, you know, we want it to be the way we want it to be. I think that's just part of our human sinful nature. We all fall into that trap. But as Christians, as those of us who have walked through the waters of baptism, we're supposed to let Scripture inform our decisions. Let Scripture form who we are. We're to let the Bible guide and direct us. The only problem is that too often we allow the world to define and direct who we are. We look to the world to know how to act and how to speak, and that sneaks its way into the church. And the problem is that too often the world and the Bible have opposing ideas. You know, sometimes we begin to think if it's okay in the world, it's okay in church. And we forget that we are called to be a people that is counterculture. It's not the culture that defines us. It's our relationship with a living God through Jesus Christ. That's what defines us. That's what gives us purpose and meaning. When we call ourselves Christians, we accept Jesus' lordship over our lives. And when we do that, that should make us a different person. We need to ask ourselves, why are we here? And why are we here, meaning in church? You know, the culture has been working hard to tell us what's right and wrong, how to dress, what we should watch, what we should expect out of this life. Taught us what it means to be in leadership, teaches us what it means to be successful by worldly standards. And there are many in our world that follow exactly what the culture says on how to live, how to be, how to lead, how to act. But I wonder, where has that led them? You think about it, we all know the answer to that, right? All we have to do is look around at our society and see people going in so many directions. And we live in a world today where male and female doesn't mean anything anymore. People are struggling with their identity, and instead of trusting who God is and who God made them to be, they're creating all sorts of versions of themselves. Actually had a minister that, as a minister, a disciple minister, that told me that their pronouns are they and them, and they don't identify with any gender. That's what the world says we do. Basically, the world says anything goes. Let just everybody be happy and be whatever they want to be. I can be what I want, and everyone must accept it, even God. Drug addiction is on the rise at its highest levels. And I've been at churches that say, we don't want those kind of people in our building. I had a board at one of my churches that refused to allow an AA group to meet in the church. And we are blessed, we have several AA groups that meet in our church. But they didn't want those kind of people in the church. Even though we had some members of the church that were attending AA and other groups, but of course, people didn't know that. I'm sure there is someone in this room right now that has a family member suffering from some kind of addiction. People are looking for answers. People need help, love, belonging, guidance, and a relationship with Jesus Christ. People are searching. Because I've said before, people have a deep down need in their heart, in their core, to be loved and to find meaning and purpose in life. And it can appear easy to find it through drugs, through all these other things that the world is helping them to find meaning and purpose, but they all fall short. None of them help people find true meaning and purpose. What do they need? They need an authentic church. They need a church where they can feel love and acceptance. They need a church focused on others, not self. Doesn't mean that they can come in and do whatever they want to do, and it's okay. But it does mean that we love and share a different way of living through the gospel that doesn't come with stares or snide comments or putting them down. As Christians, we should all be about helping our brothers and sisters in Christ grow closer to Christ, just as we need to be doing. We don't have it all together. We don't have all the answers. We're not perfect, as I popped your bubble last week and told you weren't perfect. We need Christ in our lives, and we know that. How much more do we need to help others see that as well? Whether it's a gossiper or an adulterer, a murderer or an alcoholic, we can either stand back and stare disapprovingly, or we can stand beside them as fellow sinners looking for help through Jesus Christ. You know, one of my... It surprised a lot of people when I moved here. I lived in Somerset, Kentucky, and we had an incident where a group of bikers called the Southern Disciples, and this is not Disciples of Christ. This was a biker gang that was known, working from Florida to Indiana, trafficking drugs, all kinds of things, and they were trying to set up a hub in Somerset. And had taken over this building that they were using as a headquarters. And we actually had a shooting at a local restaurant between this gang and some people that were in there. But one of the churches in town decided that they wanted to go and invite this biker gang to come to church. They went down to their clubhouse and handed out brochures and things about the church and invited them to come. And some actually did show up at church. That's a church that's looking out. That's a church that's trying to make a difference for the kingdom. And that means that's risky. There was risk in going to the clubhouse. There was risk in inviting them to go to church. But we're called to risk for the gospel. People need Jesus Christ. We are the church. You, me, every one of us, we're the bride of Christ. We need to roll up our sleeves and get out in the muck and bring people into relationship with Jesus Christ. Not because we're perfect, not because we've got it all together, because we know someone who does have it all together and can help others get it together. People need the church. People need Jesus. And I say they need the church because it's we, the church, that are supposed to be about introducing Jesus Christ to people. But we have to be an authentic church. One where we truly care about one another. One where we're a people united about making a difference for the kingdom and not for ourselves. A place where we have a genuine concern for the lost, for the hurting, for the suffering. Where we truly have a passion, want, and desire for people to flourish in their relationship with Jesus Christ. Where people are excited about being a church for the world, not about a place where their wants and needs are met. A church that's passionate about passing on the faith to the next generation. How do we do that? Well, that's what I love about this book. I think it begins with us having a change in our mindset about what it means to be church. I have to wonder how many churches out there today are more of a country club than a church. How many churches out there today are more about having their needs met, their wants and desires met, than reaching out for the gospel? As we close out this series, I want us to re-look back at the pledges real briefly and what we need to remember from them. First pledge. I like the metaphor of membership. It's not membership as in a civic organization or a country club. It's the kind of membership given to us in 1 Corinthians 12. Now you are the body of Christ and individually members of it. Because I am a member of the body of Christ, I must be a functioning member. Whether I'm an eye, an ear, or a hand, as a functioning member, I will give, I will serve, I will minister, I will evangelize, I will study, I will seek. I will seek to be a blessing to others. I will remember that if one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. One member is honored, all members rejoice with it. What do we need to remember from this? Just what it says. I'm going to be a functioning church member. We took a pledge not to be a pew sitter, right? Specifically, I will give to my church. I will serve my church. I will minister. I will spread the gospel. I will study Scripture. And I will be a blessing to others. I'm here because I am a member of the body of Christ. And that means I'm not here for me, but I'm here for God. And everyone in this room has a role to play. If you're not finding a place where you can be a blessing, then what Scripture, what this was trying to tell us is that then you're hurting the church. Just the same thing as deciding that, oh, I don't need my hand anymore. If we're the body of Christ together, all members of it, then all are important. And if somebody is not serving, then it's hurting the whole body. We each have a responsibility to be a functioning member of this church. The second was, I will seek to be a source of unity in my church. I know there are no perfect pastors, staff, or other church members, but neither am I. I will not be a source of gossip or dissension. One of the greatest contributions I can make is to do all I can in God's power to help keep the church in unity for the sake of the gospel. Remember why unity is important? Remember why unity is important? For one reason. Not so we like each other. What Jesus said, I have given them glory that you gave me, that they may be one as we are one. I in them and you in me, so that they may be brought to complete unity. Why? Why is our unity important? Then the world will know that you sent me and have loved them even as you have loved me. I wondered this week as I was reviewing this, is I wonder if that's what the world is waiting for. The church to have unity. Is it even possible for a church to have unity? I think it is only when it stops becoming about us and starts being about others. When we focus on the least, the last, and the lost. But it requires each of us. Will each of us take a pledge? We did on this, to be a unifying member. It's hard. It means will we stop before we open our mouths on anything and ask ourselves, what I'm about to say, will it bring unity or discord? We have a choice. Is what I'm about to say going to build up or is it going to tear down? The pledge basically was about, I won't allow myself to use words to hurt my brothers or sisters in Christ. Third pledge, I will not let my church be about my preferences and desires. This is self-serving. I am a member in this church to serve others and to serve Christ. My Savior went to the cross for me. I can deal with any inconveniences and matter that just aren't my preferences and style. How many be honest and say this one's really hard? You're not raising your hand, then you're faking because it's hard. I mean, let's be honest. That's why we're here. That's why you're not going to the Presbyterian church down the street or the Catholic, because this church is more in line, right, with what you, how you like to worship, with your preferences and desires. But that's the trap. we can't let it become all about ourselves. Not if we're trying to be a unifying member. Can't be about all my preferences and desires. We need to be a people that ask, does this work for others? We need to be kingdom focused. I think the greatest thing that I can ever say on this topic is, I had an older gentleman once tell me that he hates contemporary music. Can't stand it. Can't stand contemporary music. And I know there's, I'm not going to ask for a show of hands, but I know there's people out there that would say the same thing. But he said, I know it's what's going to reach the next generation. So while I don't like it, I'll support it. There's a difference. There are things that we don't like. We do have our preferences and desires. The problem is when it becomes that it has to only be my way and it can't be anybody else's way, then we have a problem. I know there are people that don't like contemporary. But there are people that do. And if our goal is to reach others for Jesus Christ, if our goal is to pass on the faith to the next generation, then we can't be the ones sitting here saying, why won't they like it our way? Why won't they do things the way we want them? We need to find out how we can reach out to them. And I think it always gets back to me. Is it going against the gospel? Is it against Jesus Christ? We have a responsibility to pass on the faith no matter what. Fourth pledge, I will pray for my pastor every day. I understand the pastor's work is never ending. His days are filled with numerous demands that bring emotional highs and lows. Must deal with critics. He must be a good husband and father. Because my pastor cannot do all things on his own power, I will pray for his strength and wisdom. I wish Quentin was back here. My wife will tell you I don't like talking about myself. Someone posted on Facebook this week an article about rethinking the whole idea of praying for your pastor. Of course, I saw that headline and my first thought was, what? Need that. See? You need to be praying for your pastor. Can't get a better amen than that. The whole article, though, was about the idea of not thinking of your pastor like a paid worker of the church or paid member, but to think of them as the one that have been called to dedicate their life to the Lord, and members are excited that that person is willing to follow the call, and it's their joy and pleasure to provide for them and their family. Through their support, the gospel is advanced. That's where Paul was. Churches supported Paul so that he could continue his work for the gospel. But the bottom line is the church is all of us, not just one body part. We need to be a church where people are excited to step up and be in leadership. And the reality is, from church history, people are not. Why? Because if you step up and be a church leader, what happens? Well, one is you get criticism, right? Because everybody else knows the better way to do it than when you step up in leadership. The other side is, once you step up to leadership, people expect you to stay in that role for the rest of your natural born life, right? Would you like to lead this committee? Yes, great. You will now do that until the day you die. It will be on your headstone. But we need to be a place where people are excited to step in leadership, because even if we don't agree with the decision the leader is making, that we still are going to support them because they're accepting that role. I'm not saying if they're going off the deep end, but too often we're quick to criticize our leaders just because we think we have a better way. Our leaders need our support. Fifth pledge, I will lead my family to be good members of this church. We will pray together for our church. We will worship together in our church. We will serve together in our church, and we will ask Christ to help us fall deeper in love with this church, because he gave his life for her. I'm getting some amens. Not coming from you all. God's going to give them. I'll take that. Ever prayed that? Have you ever prayed to fall deeper in love with your church? I mean, I know we pray for a lot of things in the church, but I mean, prayed specifically for yourself to fall deeper in love with your church. Really be excited about your church, to see the passion that can be lived out in your church. Christ died so that we might live a life to the glory of the kingdom of God. We can only do that by being an authentic church in love with the gospel and with a passion to go out into the world and make disciples. We do that through love, service, and word. People need us. People need the church. I think now more than ever, we have to lead our families to embrace our calling, embrace the world that Christ has called us to be in, and be the church that God demands of us. Starts always with me and my family. It starts by praying for our church, praying for our leaders, and praying that we can fall deeper in love with our church. See our church making a difference. Today we come to the end of the series, and I really do hope and pray you keep this book somewhere in your house where you can see it. Maybe you glance at it the next time you're frustrated with a church member. See it up there on the shelf. Remember the next time a leader makes a decision that you don't agree with, you see it up there on the shelf. When you think, I really didn't like that hymn, maybe you see that book up on the shelf. The last pledge in our book today sums up the whole book. We have a wonderful gift. We have a wonderful gift, and it comes with a high set of responsibilities. Why? Because it came at a high price. I mean, being the church came at a price. The price was paid by a man giving his life for this church. Sixth pledge reads, this membership is a gift. And you all should have your sixth pledge in your bulletins today, our last of our pledges. It says, this membership is a gift. When I received the free gift of salvation through Jesus Christ, I became a part of the body of Christ. I soon after identified with a local body and was baptized. And now I am humbled and honored to serve and to love others in our church. I pray that I will never take my membership for granted, but see it as a gift and an opportunity to serve others and to be part of something so much greater than any one person. And I love that line. I am humbled and honored to serve and love others in our church, where we all need to be, but we all need to pray. In fact, let's say it together. Join with me. I am humbled and honored to serve and love others in our church. It's a powerful statement. It says, I'm here to serve you. It means it's not about me. As the body of Christ, through the power of the Holy Spirit, we have the ability to make a difference in our world. We do. We have the ability to see lives changed and transformed. We have the ability to lead people into a lifelong loving relationship with Jesus Christ. We just have to do it. We have to get up and get out and be willing to open ourselves up for others. I invite you to sign our last pledge, and we will bring it up during our invitation hymn. Let's pray. Lord God, as we've gone through this I Am a Member study, it has reminded us of the importance we have in being the church. You've created the church, the bride of Christ, to make a difference in our world, to be the light to the nations. Too often we don't take that light out. Too often the darkness that's in our world seems like it's winning. People are following all sorts of paths that are leading to hardship and struggles and destruction. Yet we have a path that leads to hope, promise, and salvation. Lord, help us to review these pledges. Help us to pull this book down every once in a while and just read through it again, reminding us of our importance to be the church. Lord, help us to be the church that you have called us to be, serving right here in Shreveport and extending a love from this place, our doorstep, to the ends of the earth. Guide us to be your people, to be a light to the nations. In Jesus' name, amen.